Momentum Men is brought to you by ReUp, the creators of resources to disciple men like Jesus did, educating, encouraging, and empowering men to grow in Christ and disciple others, featuring a platform filled with men's Bible studies for individuals or groups. Men, living by His life. Learn more at reuppodcast.com. ReUp, proud sponsor of Momentum Australia.
You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
You sometimes think, you know, people who are looking for a marriage partner, I just want someone to complete me. That sounds quite noble, but it's not very wise. I say to people, look, we should be complete in ourselves. What you want is two individuals coming together who've got a sense of completeness on their own, because we can't meet all of each other's needs.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
So great to have you tuning into Momentum, wherever you may be around Australia, around the world through the podcast. It's really great to be with you once again as we delve into another great topic, and really hope that you're getting something out of this show. That is our heart, Des and I, when we came up with Momentum to go, hey, how can we fit into people's lives all around Australia and the world, but specifically men. But we do know that we've got a multi-gendered audience, Des, which is really, really interesting. But let me introduce you, my friend. How are you this week? Are you well?
Yes, I'm good, thanks. And we do have a multi-gender audience. We have a lot of women who, you know, are amazed at some of the stuff that unfolds when we talk about men and what men do. And it's quite incredible. But just while we're talking, you guys, don't forget our website, momentumaustralia.org. Very, very important. And also, we'll talk about our host's website as well when we get into the conversation. But on our website, lots of information, lots of YouTubes, lots of all our previous podcasts. And you know, there's a great number there across various subjects. But also, guys, don't forget our care line. If you want to do, if you're doing life on your own and you need a safe and confidential conversation, please reach out to our care line, 1-800-000-MEN. That's 1-800-000-636. And now also, you can see us as well as hear us. We've taken some of our older recordings and we have put them in YouTube. So look for Momentum for Men in YouTube and you can see the videos and see us as well as hear us. So it's great. Tim, how are you?
Yeah, I'm going well, thank you. And excited for this week's show as well. Can we just actually just stipulate before we move on from that, guys, don't do life in isolation. That's one of our core messages here at Momentum. And if you do need a confidential conversation around anything that's happening in your life, don't suffer in silence. A lot of us guys tend to suffer in silence and it's not a great way to go. That never leads to good endings. So the care line is there for you, 1-800-000-636, or a good mate or somebody in your life that you can reach out and have a confidential conversation with. Because let's be honest, life is tough. Relationships are tough. Marriage is tough, especially with the pressures that many marriages and families face in today's current climate.
Yeah, no, it's a sad reality is that there are something like 50,000 divorces granted in Australia every year. That's 50,000 relationship breakdowns. That's 50,000 families torn apart, with a high percentage of kids in Australia now growing up in a single parent family.
Yeah, huge stats. Now, there are occasional stories of couples who've met and within weeks or months get married and they go on and have a long and happy marriage. Sadly, that is not the norm. And given the stats around divorce, they should really make us consider the weight of a lifelong commitment like marriage.
Joining us to unpack marriage, some things to consider before you say I do, and some possible options in your relationship when your relationship's under pressure, is our good friend, speaker, author, columnist, lecturer, consultant, storyteller, pastor, friend, Brian Andrew from Live Happy Together. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Brian, before we go any further, let me just plug your website, livehappytogether.com.au, livehappytogether.com.au. There is a bunch of resources on that website as well. So certainly check that out. And Brian's been in the game a long, long time. Not saying that you're mature, Brian, but you got a lot of wisdom to offer and you got a lot of stuff that guys can pull on at the website, livehappytogether.com. I mean, it is tempting. We've all been, you know, we're at a different age now for us three blokes on this call. But, you know, when you're younger and you meet someone, you tend to want to rush headlong into a relationship. We're not saying that you shouldn't do that, but we're going to unpack some things to have a look at before we perhaps do that. And I might actually just start with some stats of divorce here in Australia, guys, just to paint a picture And it's actually really sadly quite bleak. According to the latest stats, these are from the Australian Bureau of Stats, number of divorces granted, this is a couple of years ago, 2022, was 49,241, so almost 50,000. Thankfully, that was 12% less than the year before, which was 56,000. In Australia, the average length from marriage to separation was about 8.4 years. And the median duration of marriage to divorce is about 12 years. Average age of those divorcing is between 40 and 49 years. We'll unpack that a bit. Queensland apparently was the state which had the highest numbers of divorce in 2021, with about 13,000 of 50,000 divorces granted in Queensland. Nearly 70% of divorces are initiated by the wife.
That's an interesting one.
That's very interesting. We need to unpack that, Brian. There is good news. Recent findings have revealed that 25% of marriages within the Christian faith end in divorce. So 25% as opposed to it's almost 50% non. And recent research from Harvard School of Public Health reveals that attending church regularly together reduces a couple's risk of divorce by almost 50%, 47%. Also found that rates of divorce for couples share faith, pray, and go to church together is lower. So some positives there. Brian, when you hear all of that, let's just quickly overview. When you hear all of that, I mean, how does that make you feel? What are some things that stand out for you in all of that?
One of the emotions is disappointment. It's just I never have judgment. You know, you never know a person's narrative beyond what they might share with you or you might read about. And that's only a fraction of the journey that took them to that place. But it's just disappointing. There's so many resources around. What Maura and I are finding interesting is that even though we're kind of a little older now, we still have a lot of people in their 30s in our world who say, we want what you've got, which is very humbling. And the ones who talk to us would generally be willing to kind of do the right thing to achieve that for themselves. But having been a pastor for decades, I've seen up front the ugliness of divorce, the journey that it takes to get to that point. You know, divorce itself legally is just the end of a season. All the pain has come probably years before along the journey. The deterioration of a relationship doesn't happen overnight. I'm always an optimist. I'm an incurable optimist. The glass is always half full. But when I hear those stats, and I actually was reading something this morning, it caught my attention, talking about the increase in divorce of people over 50. So they're talking at, they call it gray divorce or silver separation. And it's up to about 20% of people in their 50s and beyond are now getting divorced as well. And when I hear that stat as well, I think there's an incredible amount of loneliness in that. And it's not so easy when you get older to start again. Possible. But yeah, it's but I'm always hopeful. I'm always positive.
So have you any insight, Brian, as to why that rate is so high? With your wealth of experience of dealing with, you know, older couples, etc., do you have any perspective in that? Is there something in society that's encouraging that, or what can you help us with there?
Well, it's a pretty multifaceted thing, really. I think I'm old enough to have seen what I would call the decline of Western civilization in a generation or two, the dumbing down of the lack of wisdom that people have, mainly through what they watch on screens. So a lot of people who want relationship example look at Married at First Sight, you know, programs like that, which are really just like vomit, you know, not much better. Also, in our culture, it panders to our self-centeredness. And I think the greatest disease on the planet is not a chronic illness as much as a condition of our heart that we all suffer from. And sometimes a couple will ask me, you know, what do you think we really have to do to be successful in marriage? You're just starting out. I said, well, I think the first thing is to have a clear sense of purpose. You know, what are you getting married for? What's your understanding of the potential of it. But sometimes I'll look at them and say, really, it depends on how selfish you're going to be. Mm. If your marriage is all about me and getting my needs met, and it's kind of me, 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 it's probably destined to, if not fail, be a pretty emotionally barren relationship. Mm. You know, we talk about pandemics and epidemics. I mean, the global pandemic is just that selfishness, you know, all about putting me first. And you sometimes think, you know, people who are looking for a marriage partner, I just want someone to complete me. Mm. That sounds quite noble, but it's not very wise. You know, I say to people, look, we should be complete in ourselves. What you want is two individuals coming together who've got a sense of completeness on their own. Mm. Because we can't meet all of each other's needs.
Brian, one of the stats that we all kind of flinched at, and I'm sure people listening would have flinched at too, nearly 70% of divorces are initiated by the wife. And for guys listening, that should put us on notice to some degree. But when you unpack that, I mean, well, let's unpack that. I mean, why do you think that is? Why do you think that 70% of divorces are initiated by women?
I'm not surprised by that stat at all, you know, because women, one of their greatest strengths is they don't give up easily. They've got tremendous tenacity. They, you know, the old saying that a woman marries a man so she can change him, and a man marries a woman hoping she'll stay the same. There's a lot of truth in that. But women, in my experience, they're not quitters. They don't give up easily. And when I hear that stat, I'm not surprised, but it's the end of a long journey of hope. They'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt. We all know that domestic violence, and now we're talking about coercive control, which is much harder to define, particularly around some cultures who wouldn't agree with any definition we might come up with. Mm. No, I'm not surprised, but I think it's the end of a long journey of hope, just talking to her girlfriends probably, and just, you know, not giving up. But women tend to be generally much better at relationships than men. So when I hear that stat, I know they haven't come to that place easily. There's been pain. There's been abuse. There's been isolation, loneliness. Mm. They'll try and they'll try again. They're far more likely to go to a counselor to seek help. Some of them live in hope that their partner might go with them. And that's like, you know, having root canal treatment. You know, they, for a man, they often won't do that. I think there's less stigma attached to it these days. So I would think it would be a higher percentage. It's just sadness, disappointment. But certainly, again, no judgment. It's women just don't quit generally.
So just flow on the back of that before we cut to a break. And you mentioned there that also the silver separation years, people getting divorced past the age of 50, I think you said it was, had increased 20% as well. I mean, let's look at that. Because, I mean, when you get older, there is a greater, I suppose, awareness that you're getting older. You don't want to be on your own. The kids have left the nest, blah, 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 blah. And yet even that era of people divorcing is increasing as well. What do you think the reasons are for that? Is it simply that we've got through the season with the kids and women go, oh, look, there's nothing left for me here. I'm out. I mean, do you think that's one possible, plausible scenario, but there's probably others?
Yeah, look, I think that is one of the reasons, and general experts would say they've come through the emptiness phase and looked at each other and thought, well, there's not much left. And that is because over a long period of time, the emotional connection in the relationship has decreased just slowly, generally slowly, babies, nappies, no sleep. And then the really demanding season, I say to young couples sometimes, I remember when we had 3 under 5, and we would say that was the most demanding season of our almost 48 years of marriage. Mm. It was really tough. But I'll look at these young couples and I say, hey, it gets easier. They'll start to dress themselves soon. They'll start to wipe their own bottom. You know, it does get easier. Conversation starts to diminish over time. And again, no one is stereotyped, because a lot of women are going to work as well as men. But often the conversation people have at work, they find more stimulating than what they have at home. And the gravitation to a screen to sort of dumb down, chill out, can be an excuse not to engage. And so when there was a guy who wrote some great books about marriage years ago, and he said, what would it take for you to be happy again? He only saw people when they were in marital trouble. And what came through from the man and woman was to feel in love again. Now, when I first read that a long time ago, that startled me because I thought that's primarily an emotion. But that's what everyone wants. You want an emotional content to your marriage. And the early years, then the teenage years are all very stressful. Often both or one or the other are trying to ascend a career track and there's not much left. And then when people get home now more than ever, they'll watch a screen and then they're too tired. And one will go to bed earlier than the other, and they can be in two separate rooms, both watching a screen. It might be a Kindle, it might be a sports, you know. And I think the reason is just that deterioration of the emotional connection. There's a whole lot of other things as well. I mean, shared values. That's one of the features, but I would come back to the real values of a successful marriage, which are above and beyond that. But they certainly should include an emotional quotient. It's more important, really, to have an emotional quotient in your marriage, emotional connection, than a clear understanding. Because sometimes people will use the information for a clear understanding to manipulate, to even wound, to hurt. But that emotional connection is critical. And I would say of those over 50s currently divorcing, almost all of them would say there was no emotional connection left. It would be less than the men because men are often not aware of what they don't have. They just get used to it.
It's a huge conversation. I'm not sure we're going to do this justice. We're going to take a short break. We're talking with Brian Andrew from Live Happy Together, livehappytogether.com.au. We're talking about marry in haste, regret for life. We haven't really looked at the haste stuff. Maybe we'll come back after the break and have a quick squeeze through that. But I think, Brian, where we're going with this conversation seems to be really important, and that is perhaps how can we help couples listening right now who are in trouble, who've lost that spark, that emotional connection? I think let's come back and talk about that on the other side of this break at Momentum. Feel free to have a look around our website too during the break, MomentumAustralia.org, and we'll be back with Brian Andrew in just a moment.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Okay, welcome back. It is part two of this week's Momentum. Tim and Des with you, and we are joined on the show this week by Brian Andrew from Live Happy Together, the website livehappytogether.com.au. Have a squeeze around that after the show. Lots of great information there, and of course at MomentumAustralia.org. Our topic this week is marry in haste, regret for life. And I mean, we set the scene with some fairly sad statistics, I suppose, around divorce and how prevalent that is in today's society. And I suppose where we want to go now is, Brian, let's look at not rushing into marriage because we don't want people to be another statistic. And yet, I mean, there seems to be, I think, generically in society, a hesitation around marriage these days for a number of reasons. And yet there are people who will still, you know, find that person and want to get married very quickly. So I suppose some thoughts around, let's start unpacking that before we kind of rush into making a commitment and then potentially be another statistic of divorce. The first is, how well do we really know each other? I mean, let's start there because, I mean, you meet someone in a short period of time. You're not, I suppose, you might find out a lot of information, but you're not going to see them through different seasons, if that makes sense. Just unpack that for us, Brian.
Look, I heard when I was younger, older people would suggest you should go through the four seasons in a relationship before you get married. We didn't last one season, my wife and I, but we're not saying that's a model for anybody. It was our own choice. But I think, yeah, people rush into it too quickly, even though most would live together. What staggers me still is the number of people who don't talk about significant issues before they get married. And that blows me away, you know, because I still do a lot of weddings. And so I'm chatting to these people Like, for example, one couple who came to me and they had a date, they had a band, they had a venue, and they were looking for a celebrant. And so I was just asking a few questions and I said, do you hope to have children? Oh, yeah, we're going to have children. Okay, that's great. Where are you going to send them to school? And she said, well, they'll be going to a Catholic school. And he exploded and said, what the hell? No kid of mine's going to a Catholic school. And they'd known each other quite some time. Mm. And he actually stormed off, leaving me to pay for the coffee. But I thought, there it is. He literally, physically walked to the car. She was embarrassed. She followed them. I never heard from them again. But I thought, there's another example of, you would think reasonably intelligent people, they're not teenagers, they're probably closer to 30. They haven't talked about big ticket items.
Mm.
So, Brian, what would those big ticket items be? You know, give us a handful of them.
Yeah, sure. Actually, if I can throw something in the mix here, Des, too, I did a little bit of research and found that in countries like India, 85% of the marriages are arranged by the parents. And guess what? Our current generation will show between 74 and 80-something percent they still want that.
Yeah.
They still want the parents to arrange. And so when the parents arrange it, they have criteria around, caste and values. Religion is right up the top. When I look at that list, I think we ought to be doing that. Like, for Moira and I and other couples, say, well, what is your purpose in life? Why are you here? Because for people of faith, that basically motivates, colors, prioritizes pretty well everything.
Mm.
And so certainly, if you want, you can put religion in there in terms of, for us, we would say, spiritual reality, following Jesus. And then you put values. But see, all those other things flow out from that, like compatibility in terms of social background. I don't think that's a deal breaker, but it's worth thinking. Mm. It can be a lot more tension or less if you from at least a similar kind of background. Your attitude to family is a huge one. The priorities of your life in terms of what you want to do, your careers, your attitude to finances. I think these are the big things that often don't become evident unless you maybe do a pre-marriage course. And pre-marriage courses are more common than ever. In fact, some denominations mandate that before their vicars or priests or pastors are allowed to marry them.
Mm.
But I think I read years ago when I was doing more of that, somebody said any pre-marriage counseling is like 11:59 stuff. Like, yes. You've already made up your mind. You're getting married at 12 o'clock. Is it worth doing? Yes. Will it change much? No. But could it be a good resource to go back to when you start getting into the white water of the relationship?
Mm.
Having all those things, I think Moira and I, we're not even sure where we got this, but when we got married, we had a tremendous sense of being a team. Mm. And that's, for men especially, the sporting metaphor or analogy is we're on the paddock. Say it's rugby. For me, it was always rugby. But you get on the paddock and you're facing the goal line, the try line, the goal post. And we've had people comment over the years, why do you and Moira have such a low conflict marriage? And most of them would think it's mainly because of Moira. Which is mates, that's how mates talk. Basically, we both got our eyes on the goalpost. We're facing the same direction. Our energy is the same direction. We know what we're trying to achieve and we relate like a team. And, a healthy team of any sort, if somebody makes a mistake, what happens? The other team members come along and give them a pat on the bottom or on the shoulder. You'll be right next time. They don't put each other down.
Mm.
I could give you 10 examples that raise the question, why don't we treat our marriages like that?
Mm.
Have another go. You're wounded, why don't you take a break? Not judgment or condemnation or anger. And I think if a couple knows the playing field they're on, knows the direction they're going, they're not messing around on the sideline in the muddy ground. They've got their eyes focused on their future.
That's great advice. Another thing that comes into play when we talked about family is, you know, in many marriages these days, it's a blended family. So she's bringing her children, he's bringing his children. They come together. They maybe have kids as well. And I mean, that adds a whole level of complexity to that whole scenario, doesn't it?
Right. Des, you just threw a hand grenade in my room. Still doing weddings. I would say a significant percentage, I'm not quite sure, are second marriages, or in some cases even a third. It's just a minefield. It's the most complex, painful thing. And I think some couples who get married for the second time or third time, they underestimate that reality. And a guy came to see me just recently, he said, and brought up blended family issues. And if there's a bit of an age difference, one of them has got kids in their mid to late 20s, the other's got kids who are just teenagers, young to mid-teenage. Well, that brings a whole lot of complexity in terms of planning. It's a minefield. And I have to admit, talking about adults behaving badly, I've seen heard so much evidence of adults behaving badly in this realm. Blended families, of course, can be a beautiful thing, can be a wonderful, incredible thing. It's not without a minefield. Sometimes, you know, they'll say, well, you know, it happened too quick. One of the things I found is there's so many reasons why the children of either party are negative, critical, won't accept the new spouse, the new lover, whatever. And they'll have all these reasons, but at the core often is money. And if one has got more asset base and income than the other, the ones feel like they've got more to lose because this woman or this man is just a gold digger. And they won't admit it, but often it comes down to money or the perception of what they'll lose, like lose their inheritance, you know. It's pretty ugly. Yeah.
It's a huge one. And you know what? I think that actually warrants a separate show at some stage. And we might actually come back and do that. But Brian, in the few minutes we've got left for this show, let's just get real and honest for a sec, because there will be people listening who are in a marriage and they're both really unhappy. They've stopped communicating, they've stopped having sex, they're just going through the motions. How do they even start to pull this thing back on track? What's a good starting point? What are some tips?
One of the most critical questions of all: can I get that back? Can I get back? You know the Righteous Brothers song, "You've Lost That Loving Feeling." Started off, so it's a powerful song. The lyrics are brilliant. And babe, you just criticize me now for every little thing I do. You know, you've lost that loving feeling. And I think most therapists and that would say, if people can regain that emotional connection, and I've thought a lot about this, part of it comes back to the condition or quality of our own hearts. Because if we've got a hard heart, a divided heart, whatever, you know, it's much harder. And I think the advice from many would be, if you want to get that back, you need a bit of self-awareness. You probably need to see a psychologist or a path that you trust or a couple that seem to be doing it well. One young guy said to me, he wasn't that young, actually, probably late 30s, he said, I'll tell you what, he's single, and he said he's looking, and I'll tell you one thing, he said, I don't want to marry a woman with a lot of baggage. And I looked at him, I know him well enough. And I said, well, has it occurred to you, you might have a bit of baggage yourself? And he was mature and aware enough to do what you're doing, Tim, smile and go, oh, that's a fair call. Because I know him well enough. No, he's got a bunch of baggage too. And I said, that doesn't mean a relationship can't go forward where you've both got baggage. You can work it out together. But getting it back, I think the condition of our heart, our inner self, is critical, because sometimes we can be treating symptoms instead of causes. And maybe people have picked up heart wound. Some people have still got the wound from when they were a child, whether from a mother or a father or a young age divorce, and they've never had that wound healed. Sometimes, a bit like when a ship's taken out of the water, you have to scrape the barnacles off the bottom so it works properly. In the same way, I think we need times where we have a bottom scrape, if you like, you know, because we accumulate debris on the whole of our life. And so to me, it's the heart. It's trying to figure out if we've got heart wounds that are causing our behavior that's not helping. Then looking at things like kindness and forgiveness and physical affection. And just, you know, often it's the little things. As long as the essential, which is the inside of us, as long as that is reasonably healthy, then you can deal with these little things and just start being kind. Kindness has an impact out of all proportion to the actual choice. And for a guy, being physically affectionate without expecting more, just doing things that you don't want to do. You just don't, why should I? You know, she's not kind to me. You know, she doesn't listen to me. Why should I listen to her? Which is pretty juvenile behavior, but pretty common behavior as well. So I think it's that self-examination, getting help if you need it. If you have faith, asking God, looking into the word that the Bible, and trying to figure out, why am I so reluctant to be kind to her? Why can't I forgive her? Why can't I forgive him? And that inability to forgive is a symptom, not a cause. It causes a wound that we may have picked up where we don't trust. So it's I don't mean to make it sound too difficult, but and sometimes whether we are dealing with that inside self or not, just start being kind. Just start. And certainly forgiveness is just one of the big ticket items in regaining. Sometimes couples over the years have come to see me, and what becomes evident after listening for a good while is, hold on a minute, there's something going on here from the past. She's holding something over him because of something he did. And so I'll gently, I'm not a marriage counselor as such. People say I'm good at it, but I'm not looking for it. You know, I'm more than happy never to do marriage counseling for the rest of my life because it's so hard. But you can just begin to sense, and it could be the other way. He's holding something over her. And often that is around the area of sexual infidelity and something that happened. It can be 20 years ago. But they're still holding it over them. And forgiveness is, you know, flushing the waste, if you like, getting a fresh start. I think that's essential. That's a long answer, Tim, to your question. But I would say it's possible because I've seen it.
Yeah. I mean, Brian, to be honest, man, we've skimmed the surface of that. We could spend a whole other show on that as well. But there are some, you mentioned a few things throughout this show that have been some real gold nuggets that I would love guys to go back, or people to go back and have a listen to. And of course, check out the website, livehappytogether.com.au, livehappytogether.com.au. That's Brian's website. You can find a whole bunch of resources on there. And of course, at our website too, momentumaustralia.org, to help you on your journey and specifically in this area. And look, if this has brought up some stuff for you and you might need a confidential chat, don't forget the care line, 1-800-000-636. Brian, thank you for unpacking that with us. We really appreciate your time on the show this week.
Thanks so much, Tim and Des. It's my passion to see people live happy together. It really is.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.